the Jameson Castmates and Tonics Social Serve Series on Off the Ball.
Hey, Quinny. Good to see you, buddy.
Thanks for joining me.
Yeah.
For a Jameson Castmates and Tonic.
Cheers.
The Jameson Castmates and Tonics Social Serve Series on Off the Ball.
22 years, right, since...
God, you're making me feel old. Thanks.
Since both of us walked into the university in Limerick.
Mm. Long time ago now.
First contracts we signed, part-time contracts. Mm. Did you get a part-time or full-time?
No, I went on a tour to New Zealand and I got a full contract on the back of it. Yeah. At the time, the thinking was, sure, why would you sign 2 years? Sign a 1 year.
Yeah. How did that tour to New Zealand go in 97? Because I was on standby and it was...
Yeah, it was tough. But it was my first tour. So there'd been obviously a lot of guys who've been tours. So I was delighted to be kind of considered. And a lot of the senior players, I think, kind of bailed out at the time. So it was very much a developmental tour. But going down to New Zealand, like playing, you know, some of the best teams in the world. It was a great experience for me. And then
you're back after that tour into pre-season with Munster.
Yeah.
There was an edge to that whole Munster environment back then and a rivalry because of the club game in Limerick.
Yeah.
I played for Shannon, you played for Gary Owen. The Cork boys obviously had their clubs. There was a few young Munsters lads. What was that like?
Well, it's akin to what the provincial system is now, like, and the supporters and everything, you know. So Limerick is obviously a hotbed of it, but even among the core clubs, you know, that healthy rivalry, I'd say it was as well too, was brilliant. It made the AIL, you know, that the crowds that clubs got those days was brilliant, and it just fed into the whole excitement of playing for your club and playing for your parish.
Do you remember playing against me? No, what was I like to play against?
Filthy,
really nice.
Absolutely filthy.
Annoying.
I remember
all this annoying thing is about, that you'd love to play with me, but you hate playing Or maybe you hate playing with me as well.
No, actually I hated playing against or with yourself and Eddie Halvey, because the two of you have to separate you the whole time. You'd be running from rock to rock, giving out to each other.
Right,
it's like, how are you playing rugby?
It's a good skill, like, to be able to talk while you're running and sprinting and manage the whole game as well, isn't it?
Remember you used to get me to say, no, Wally, in this game, just calm me down now. If I'm losing,
you were my psychologist.
Yeah,
because I looked at you, particularly when we played for Munster at the start, and I was like, I had this red mist and this kind of psycho temperament that would take over sometimes in the heat of battle, and I would have to... I was there, who's the soundest, calmest, quietest fella? And obviously you were right beside me in the background. I'd say, I remember that really well, saying, Wally, keep me right now today, keep
like
me
calm. It was just like a chant, you'd be afraid. But it was brilliant. But
how could you keep yourself so quiet?
I don't know. I was always so flat. I couldn't bring myself to do anything but my job. I think I was focused when I was on the field and probably... worried that I'd make a mistake or get kind of drawn into something that, you know, the other team are trying to get you to draw into, because then they have you, you know.
Yeah.
So I just wouldn't give them the satisfaction, I guess, of you know, I suppose, winning that psychological battle. But you were different, because you, that competitive side that you had, I mean, that was contagious for all the rest of us.
That probably helped me in certain ways, but got me into trouble in certain ways.
But it helped the whole team, Quinny, you know?
Yeah, but you were an athlete. You were, like, I didn't know you before then. I remember seeing you first, and I was going, wow, I want the muscle that Wally has in his body, and the speed and the sprinting. You could run faster than most of the backs. And whereas, I suppose, you came in like a professional into... the start of a professional group, whereas we didn't have a clue. I remember doing weight sessions in UL and thinking, this is great, we want to look good and we want to put on muscle, but there was no focus on muscle endurance, and we'd leave the gym afterwards and we'd go up to the restaurant in the old UL and we'd have deep fried chicken fillets and chips and stuff, and we didn't know anything about that.
The culture was definitely very different, and it changed quite radically in a few years, but certainly starting out.
Did you enjoy it? I thought I was living the dream, like, at the start.
I enjoyed it, but I enjoyed it much more when it became more professional, because you're kind of trying to win matches, but you knew kind of deep down that we weren't doing what we needed to do off the field to win games. I think when we first got that bit of success, we got a bit annoyed. I think we were in there for a couple of years with Munster, and the first year, as you said, like, there was only six or seven, I think, full-time, so we'd train in the evenings and the mornings. But then as those kind of provincial contracts became the norm, you know, and you suddenly had a squad that we could train together, and they brought in, Fergal O'Callaghan came in as fitness coach. And for me, that was the biggest one, because that 99, I think that tour to Australia, I was left out of it. And I had a couple of very middling years before that in terms of my form, probably because I wasn't training hard enough. Probably was training harder before I came into Munster.
You were too nice, Wally. You were just too nice. That was
it. What do you mean?
You were always had a smile on your face. You were never narky.
I was laid back.
Incredible athlete, totally laid back. I wanted to be like you.
We're all good athletes, Quinny, but we all had different strengths,
I suppose.
I couldn't run long distance stuff, and I'd always look to most of the other guys, even Axel, I could be long distance stuff, he'd run it all day, and it'd be, you know, whereas I'd sprint, right, 50 metres or whatever it was, but sure, I'd be goose then for another 10 minutes.
When Shannon played Gary Owen in those days, our plan was stop Wally at source, because if he gets up some speed, you're in big trouble. So I used to just do that at the line. I would just hold on to your jersey at the back of walls. I was just a night of life out of it.
And
I remember you'd warn me, like, in such a nice way, Quinny, stop that. Quinny, stop doing that. I'm warning you now, Quinny. And I just couldn't take you serious. But then there was a few times where
you get to a certain stage, then
the red mist was to you. And
it was only you could get me to those places.
I had to back away then and kind of leave him off for a while, and then you'd calm down again and you'd kind of go, Quinny, I told you already, and I knew it was a calmer one.
That was
you'd lift Paul Neville at the back of the line-out. You throw it to the tail, and I just keep hitting your hand.
Yeah.
And Paul Neville had dropped down about an inch or two inches, and
the ball
had just brought over the back.
He'd never catch that. Yeah.
Cullum McMahon, I told Cullum or Eddie, whoever played there, just watch me do this, and you'll catch it clean, and off we'd go. And then you'd be running down the field after me, Quinny, I'm telling you. And
the best one was when the other back row would tell you, he'd actually kind of try and say, the ball is going here, here. But, you didn't know whether to believe it, of course
me,
it would go there.
You blame me then for standing on your ankle one time as well.
Well, that was the first game,
it wasn't me, and there's no video evidence to prove that.
I'd like to see that someday, You know, that
you
causes a bit of upset.
You were always harder to get on with the Gary Owen fellas, because
you fancied yourselves a bit more than the Shannon lads or the young Munsters lads.
So you wouldn't train with us. I remember in
97,
98. So because a lot of guys were part-time, a couple of full-time, and Dave Mahidi, who was the head of sport in UL, was looking after our fitness.
But he'd only come in once every three months.
But he'd try and give programs and stuff like that, and he couldn't. He was working in the university, and this is how amateur the thing was still.
Yeah.
But suddenly we were like, I remember for a couple of days saying, where are all the Gary Owen players? And someone said, they're up training on the track.
We used to train at 9 a.m, I think, was it? Yeah, we'd go in at half 8.
You made a conscious decision to say, let's get ahead. Because you were thinking at the club, get the Gary Owen fellas fitter than the Shannon and the Young Munsters.
No, I don't think it was that. I think we were just... And we probably shouldn't have done it as a Gary Owen group. That was a big mistake.
It was kind of the way it was at the time.
Because we went to Giles Warrington and said, look, we're not fit enough. And we weren't doing the training that we needed to be doing.
We taught to Gary Owen as well, fit enough either.
Yeah, that's it. We needed, because you were winning all the AIL titles at the time. That was it.
People often say, what do you miss? I remember that period was a very fun period, because even though we didn't win a lot, but we learned a lot, and it was great to see guys like coming together. You know, when we first met up,
it was a bit forced at the start. It was,
because but none of us had a clue how to kind of. We were kind of gelled together. Mm. You remember what Declan Kidney said to us about that? We can win a European Cup someday, and we thought he was crazy.
Like, yeah, we did a goal set. Remember that? I can't remember who it was. Was it Woody or someone, or Langford?
Yeah, and some of us were kind of half somebody laughing at kind some of the goals.
Yeah,
kind
it has
of
to be.
Like, we can't win a European Cup. How the hell can we do that?
We all laughed. We did.
We can beat an English team when they come to Thomond Park here, because we can get our emotion through the roof, or the crowd will go mad, and we'll maybe have a make it a frightful situation for them. But that whole thing, I remember, and you mentioned it a minute ago about wanting to get better. each year and the professionalism, and it was incredible. Look at the centre Munster have now, going back, you know, you go back 22 years ago, where we started, where the university, the new sports building is built. Do you remember, we used to train in that?
We used to train in that with Dave Mahidi,
And
we had potholes and rocks dog, and everything.
We had a dog that trained with us, and he bit Killian Keane in the arse one day. And we thought it was brilliant.
Is that the dog that Klaus strapped his little GPS unit onto, and he came back with great scores?
So we went 2000 final, 2001 semi-final, which we should have won, 2002 final again. 2003, here's another semi-final that we've lost.
Yeah.
That potentially there was that much in it, and the final is on in Dublin against the French team. So we went 4 years there of...
Nearly there.
We hadn't won it.
Yeah.
And like genuinely all those, when you look back at them and you split the margins and look at it, bounce of a ball here and there. Mm. I'm not sure I could strongly say that we should have beaten Leicester in 0-2. I don't think we did. They were a better side.
They were a good team. We could have really put it up to them.
A couple of small things went against them, but they were a very good side. But I think 0-1, the Northampton one, yeah, definitely in 2000, we should have won. We should have won that semi against Stade in 0-1. And definitely in 0-3, that was a very small margin.
I think the fact that we were a lot of us playing in the national team and coming back, we had a closeness there, and we had, you probably standards were bringing back to Munster. I think that helped everyone as well too, because things moved on in terms of like defence. Remember, it was a good number of years before we had a defensive coach in Ireland, and it was something very simple to bring in. But we brought that back to Munster a bit, and then it was a couple of years later we had that in Munster as well too.
So we finally win it in 06.
Yeah.
Incredible.
But it's funny.
Contrasting memories for me now. First of all, I'd say obviously I got injured in round one in Sale.
Mm. That was a tough one for me. Because
I'm going to remind you of that.
Yeah.
So I went off injured. And who comes on for me? Yeah. Trevor Hogan.
I was warming up because I just naturally got up and said, geez, better get warmed up. And was kind of, as I'm kind of stretching, I see Trevor Hogan taking off the which is no slight on Trevor, but
David Wallace, this wonderful British and Irish line and Irish international, is now in a period of, I'm second sub.
I was a low point of Munster for me. On
the Munster team. Yeah. Because the back rows, myself, Leamy, and...
Probably Axel at the time, was it?
Dennis Leamy, Axel, myself.
And that was hard because I'd come off back at 3 years under Gaffney where you'd pick five back rows and one of you get dropped. Kinda,
there was a fair bit of rotation.
For four places, one of you get dropped on the Friday, basically found out. And I always knew it was me.
You, me, Dennis Lee, me.
But there was no rotation, no. It was I was out because I was coming back from injury
rotation.
The first.
You were just down for a bit there.
Yeah, right. And then obviously Decky came in that year and it's a right new regime, kind of start afresh.
So this is the low point for you.
And that's just because you're hope a back row gets an injury and then you hope you come on. But yeah, I do remember going back to the stand and kind of going,
I got injured. You were actually hoping I was going to get injured in Sale.
Did I say that? Yeah. No, I said it was tough going back to the stand and kind of sitting down and going, geez, right, this is where I stand here. And it was actually, I think, Brian Hickey, in fairness, he kind of said it was his call and he wanted to shore up the line out. But I think it actually came on eventually in that game.
Yeah. From that Sale game, Munster turned it around, five matches, win the next five game. Wallace is back in the team.
I got back the following week, thank God. Yeah, and on the back of three or four, I know it's going to crap for you as well too, but on the back of three or four tough seasons for me where I wasn't playing well and wasn't being selected and wasn't going well for me, but suddenly got my chance the following week and it kind of all turned around and it's hard to put your finger on it. You have three or four seasons where you're trying your hardest, trying to do everything, and it's just not working. And then all of a sudden you get a chance and you play well and then you
and
play
the team
well,
played well.
And yeah, exactly. And you're winning and suddenly you just kind of go, wow, it's a totally different environment.
I remember how confident we were confident that we could go to Sale in that first game and get a result, and we got, manhandled. It was just a bad night with the injuries and everything and really negative. And then the team go on a brilliant run and win five games, and Barry Murphy comes into the side.
Yeah,
and
brilliant try.
And
he scored
a great try in Thomond Park against Sale, and Ian Dowling is now on the team as well. So there's a few new guys coming in. And I remember being over in Cahill, and Fla as well. Jerry Fla came in as well. He got the chance, and Fla was incredible that year. So those three guys made a real impact. I came on for the last 4 minutes in that game against Spirits and didn't touch the ball, didn't hit a ruck. Just ran around in circles and tried to avoid any sort of decision.
Did you hit anyone?
Nothing.
You didn't even make anyone kick you?
No, ran around. In the earth. No, I didn't. I ran around circles and jumped around then when the whistle went as if I'd won it all on my own. So it wasn't that 4 minutes, it was the previous kind of 9 years.
Ah, exactly.
This was it.
It is.
I was so lucky that I got to be part of it. I felt so sorry for Stephen Keogh because he'd been involved and he was the one that was going to be on the bench if I didn't make it back. But you know, it was more the 9 years previous and getting back from the injury. But they're my emotions from it. So I felt I won it on my own that day. For you, going through all those previous years and the group that we built and the team spirit that we built to finally.
Well,
get
again,
our hands
it was
trophy.
In stark contrast for me for the previous 3 or 4 years. You know, because it was 2001. Those foot and mouth internationals where. You know, they replayed in October where I injured my shoulder and I kind of got to the end of that season but playing worse and worse because my shoulder was hanging on by a string. And, you know, those 4 years were tough. So I think just to be in that positive rugby environment again and getting to a final was just going into that final, I was the most relaxed I've ever been going into a game. It was funny because I usually get really wound up for games, you know, as in nervous and that, but it just, I think it came to a point where we just couldn't.
It.
Yeah, well, for the supporters, we just couldn't come away today, three finals and not. And you know, I remember just going into the crowd. I know we had the overwhelming support there on the day, but it just felt like this was our time, you know. And just the confidence that we had going into that season. I remember saying that earlier on to the season to my wife, Aileen, I said, I have a really good feeling about this season. I think it's going to be our season, you know, that we're going to win it.
It was kind of reward for
and
all
that was quite early on, yeah, yeah. But it was, so the most calm I'd been going into any game, I think, you know, in a long time. And it was just, look, it was at the end of it was funny. It was more like a relief rather than...
Lots of people crying here, there and everywhere and...
Jeez, we're always crying.
Overall, when you look back at the Munster career, I know there's an Irish career there as well, and there was a couple of Lions tours for you. That whole Munster story and journey, it was incredible, wasn't it?
It was phenomenal. It's hard to see it like back in those early days where it was so rudimental. So, you know, there was no structure, there was no full-time profession, there was only a few handful, like, and to where we got to, you know, in a short space of time.
Where Munster are at now, obviously, I think we were lucky to have the careers we had and be experienced those that whole journey from the semi-pro stroke amateur to where the game is at now and where the Munster lads are at now.
And the culture changing from
and
as
maybe
well, you know.
Creating their own legacy. And is it unfair that they've been, at times, rightly or wrongly, kind of compared to the teams that won the Heineken Cups and an expectation of pressure that they're supposed to do the same, and maybe when they haven't done that it's inhibited them, and is it a bit unfair?
If supporters didn't care, if coaches, if players didn't care and want to be at that high standard and competing and winning European Cups, then, you know, why do it? And their time is close. In the last 2 years they've been semi-finals, you know. I think certainly last year was very, very close and it was a tough away game. And they have the players, like the likes of Joey Carby coming in, the likes of Tyke Byrne, you know, with the other players developing and hopefully the injury profile.
Do you have any issue with guys from other provinces coming in from Munster, from our time, or overseas players coming in? What's your take on that?
No, I think like some of our best players who've kind of set the tone and bought into the... You know, have been outside players. You know, you've mentioned the likes of Langford Woody. I know he's Munster, really, but you know, coming back from Harlequins and bringing other things.
Mike Mullins, Jason Holland, these guys.
Yeah, but even the Leinster guys. You know, think of Andrew Conway, Joey Carberry. You know,
Felix.
Like, and he epitomises in terms of attitude and you know, leaving everything on the line.
6 months out from a World Cup, we finish in this disappointment. Are they capable? Given what you saw in the last number of years with people are talking and saying, and I think rightly so, that Joe Schmidt is the greatest coach we've ever had. Suddenly they're not a bad team now, surely. And suddenly he's not a bad coach now, surely. there's some tweaks and changes.
Well, Declan Kidney was brilliant, wasn't he? He said, like, you're going to, things are get amplified and exaggerated, and, you know, the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. Like, you don't become a bad team overnight. So,
good teams have to evolve and coaches
and they have
to change.
And look, I'm sure it'll be very good for them. Obviously, it'll release an awful lot of pressure on them. But also, like, they'll have to evaluate their own game plan and, you know, maybe adapt it a little bit. And we didn't see an awful lot from Ireland, and maybe they're guilty of keeping a lot in reserve for the World Cup.
So they can turn it around, you think? And yeah. Would you be optimistic? We've still got to beat, providing we get out of the group, we've still got to beat in New Zealand and South Africa. I keep saying to people,
Japan could be awkward
and Samoa could be awkward in
and
the pool stages.
Yeah, look at Scotland.
I know, but Scotland, people are saying, well, it's a shootout to win the pool there. But I just think Japan will have a load of Japanese qualified
playing
players,
at home.
New Zealanders and Australians who've played in the leagues there. So they could peak for a World Cup. And look what they did to South Africa. Samoa, if they get their act together, they're very talented.
Yeah.
So they could be tricky. But given we think that Ireland will get out of the group, they still got to beat New Zealand or South Africa.
Yeah, so and South Africa with Razzy Erasmus down there, Jacques Nienaber, we saw what they did with Munster. Like, defensively, they're going to be very, very strong. And Ireland have to kind of try and figure a way out to, you know, if that they're going to try and play that same game plan against, if they do meet South Africa, you know, how are they going to work around that wall of defence that South Africa might have, you know? So they're going to have to try and come up with a few plans, and no better man than Joe Smith to do that. But we'll have to see a bit of an evolvement of their game, I think, and we might see that over the summer. You know, they're playing Wales twice again. It's great whether we'll have the same kind of teams. Obviously, you're not going to have both full strength.
There may be some different personnel that ultimately might make a last-ditch push for a World Cup selection.
Yeah,
so
well, with maybe the way the Six Nations are going, it might open the door to a few positions, you know?
If we don't get to a semi-final at a World Cup, it'll be seen as a failure. Is that fair or unfair?
It'll be seen as a disappointment,
We can look back at all the other World Cups, and there's some mitigating factors that, for reasons we didn't get to semi-finals, there's a couple, the 07 one's a massive disappointment. There's a few times where we've had a really good pool stage, had a big win or two, like in 11 when they beat Australia and then got caught cold, I think, by a very good Welsh side.
Yeah. We
could have got to a final. Is it a case of a little bit of luck has deserted them? Do they need a little bit of good fortune to finally get to that kind of place where we've never been before? And if we don't get there, is it?
You'd hope it's not coming down to luck, though, wouldn't you? You'd hope that
it helps
kinda,
though, yeah, sometimes,
of course it does. But like, you don't want to be relying on it, you know. And that's something you can't really control. So they're going to be wanting to control those, you know, whatever they can control, they'd be the best at it. But I think it probably would be a disappointment, of course. But it doesn't mean it's going to be, you know, as we talked about, you know, New Zealand, South Africa. If we do get through to the quarterfinals, that's a very, very tough fixture, you know. So and with a South Africa team that are coming in under the radar a little bit with Razzy Erasmus, Jacques Nienaber there kind of at the helm, they're going to be a very, very tough team to beat. And they'll be happy where they are at the moment. We saw in the last, the championship.
Championship,
the rugby championship, how good they were, and you know, beating New Zealand as well too. So they're going to be a sticky wicket, definitely. And
so you're optimistic that Ireland can turn that disappointment of Six Nations into, you know, having a decent World
Cup.
A real go at it.
I am, because I think we have the players and we have the coaches. Yeah, exactly.
Players.
Yeah, and they're not. And look, those are.
They played badly. We've got to acknowledge that. Yeah,
and a lot of this is on the back of one game again, you know, in Wales, where, you know, obviously that's very fresh at the moment. But we've got to take it over the last couple of seasons. You look back. That's only a point in time, that Welsh match. So let's look at the whole thing, and let's try and get back to those ways. I'm sure it's only a few tweaks and whatever that can get them there. But I think emotionally they're going to hopefully peak for the World Cup, and that'll make them a very powerful unit.
Okay, well, we've got to leave it there.
Okay.
Thanks for joining me for a Jameson, Castmates and Tonic.
Cheers, Gwynny.
Great to see you. It's 22 years on since we first walked in the door in the university, and where's the time gone?
It's gone. But it's been good times, Gwynny. It's been good times.
For sure.
The Jameson, Castmates and Tonic Social Serve Series. On Off the Ball.